Zombie presents Curse of Strahd, a spooky adventure for D&D 5th edition. Episode 14, Graves in Their Natural Habitat.
Hello everybody, and welcome back to Book Zombie Presents Curse of Strahd. We're a person down today, as Jane's not able to make it, so Alton has very kindly volunteered to try and prevent her character getting killed. he just gave me a thumbs up.
Trying.
Good luck!
Okay, so quick summary, what's happened last time? Well, last time was fairly chaotic, I seem to remember, even by our normal standards. We started off going down to investigate Doru, the vampire spawn underneath the church. After a promise being extracted from his father, Donovich, that you wouldn't kill him unless absolutely necessary. I'm not sure. I think the absolutely necessary is more implied than stated outright. But things did not go that way. Two of our party went out hunting and on a little hunting and bonding expedition and killed a deer and gave the blood of the deer and later the carcass to Doru. They're able to gain a little bit more information from him, but not a great deal because his obsession with everybody's blood seemed to be paramount. But for the moment, they left him with the rest of the body to eat alive downstairs. A couple of the party went back to Irina and Ismark. And said that they were going to stay overnight in the church to check how things are going, with the idea of having their father's interment in the morning. As we left it, everybody had been keeping guard and woken up once again by the screams of Doru, who seemed to digest blood quite quickly, but he hadn't been fed for a year, so I suppose it's not entirely surprising. As I believe we left it, it was morning and we were preparing for the funeral of Ismark and Irina's father. Does that sound about right to everybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Marmoset was given a bath.
Sorry?
Marmoset was given a bath.
Oh, that's right.
A bath.
The most important thing that happened last episode was...
Which I'm still sure should be the episode title, The Bathing of Marmoset Quince.
Almost certainly, yes. So Marmoset had an involuntary bath, courtesy of one of Tiz's spells, and is now clean for the first time in her life. So there you go. Forgot about that, thank you. That's the most important thing that happened the entire episode.
Marmoset hadn't forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Or forgiven.
Well, it wasn't unpleasant. Actually, you see, just unusual.
No. Yeah, they seem to be fairly happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it was necessarily involuntary. She sounded like she was all for it. Or he, sorry. They.
I don't think they were expecting it quite at the point that it happened. But
true. It was a surprise.
But it had been discussed. Ooh. Okay, so on that note, we'll do the introductions. Hi. Probably should have done this at the beginning, but I'm Chris Book Zombie Hill. I'm your DM for the normal Farrago of Fun, TM. And going around on the screen order as usual, we start with Alton.
Hello, I'm Alton. I will be playing the idiot paladin Semyon Anatov, and I will also be playing the maybe not quite as chatty as usual, Tisrael Formfledge. Forge Flame, whoops. And I will try desperately to keep her alive because I'm afraid of what Salador will do to me.
She is small, yet she is fierce.
Indeed.
Caius.
I'm Caius Wickersham. I'm playing Darius Talvinar, human monk.
Okay. Rick.
I am Rick, and I am playing Lena Random, the really weird tiefling druid who's really weird.
Talker to rocks.
Talker to rocks. Speaker of rocks.
Geoffrey.
And Geoffrey. I'm also playing Geoffrey at the moment.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to add that as a credit from last couple of episodes. It'll be the and bit of the credits.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeffrey the Rock as himself. Penny.
Hi, I'm Penny Hill. I'm playing Marmoset Quince, the human ranger who is discovering more about this great thing called civilization.
Mm-hmm. And finally, the luminous Josh.
I'm Josh, and I'm playing Araman, the tiefling sorcerer.
Okay. Those that can't see what's happening, which is everybody else, Josh is wearing a very bright t-shirt.
I am. It's very pink.
It's fabulous.
To keep us all awake on this summer. Yes, it's very pink. I believe that is the colour called shocking pink. For good reason. Okay, so where we are is everybody is hanging around in the church waiting for Ismark and Irina to arrive. After last week, I've got a piece of paper and I've written the character names on it.
Ooh, schmancy.
It's going to be even more high-tech next week because tomorrow I get a whiteboard.
Oh.
We'll go next to my desk. It's actually for work.
Sure.
Uh-huh, so, keep telling yourself
until the
that.
Until the cats erase it with their tail.
Damn, I didn't think of that. So it is now morning. As I said earlier, you had been awakened by a certain amount of screaming from your favourite vampire spawn in the basement. But it's out of copyright. We're fine. So, as daylight is about to dawn, Ismark and Irina arrive for the funeral.
Go ahead.
One thing that needs to be done is to fix the lock. Tiz will be fixing the lock so that we can all get out of the place.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, she was going to do that while everybody else was attending the interment. Yeah, cool. Good, well remembered.
Before the two get there, I'm going to retrieve my flask from beside the body so they don't see that I've actually put it there and take a couple swigs.
Yeah, I think they might be a bit discombobulated if they're either.
Maybe a little bit.
What's this?
Semyon is judging you.
Okay, so our somewhat unhinged and depressed priest Donovich, he will lead the expedition to the graveyard behind the church to bury the body. So is if everybody apart from Tiz attending the funeral?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. So I assume that some of you will be acting as pallbearers.
Yeah. Marmoset's happy to do that.
Okay.
Sure. I'll be a wrestling manager.
He's on a... isn't he still on a cart? Are we just going to wheel him out, or are we going to actually carry him?
It's normal to carry the coffin out of the church. Okay. Okay.
No bagpipes.
Damn it.
Scribble, 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 scribble.
Cancel bagpipes. I think it was somebody when I remember an early review of Star Trek II when it first came out. So, you know, it has one or two problems with it. I mean, I don't mind Scotty playing the bagpipes, but he have to play Amazing Grace. So, okay. So you carry the body in the coffin out to the graveyard. And finally, after several days of delay, Ismark and Irina are able to lay their father to rest. I'm not going to go into the details of the ceremony because that would require me making up things that I don't want to have to make up.
The ceremony proceeds according to the rites of the church.
Yep, that. What Penny just said. So obviously, the church being pretty much deserted apart from Donovich, there will be no... there aren't any sort of other attendants, so you will need to help fill in the grave afterwards and things. But I'm sure, having gone through what you've gone through to get here...
One thing after another.
reminds me of all those RPG, computer RPGs, where you have all these villagers and things that keep on giving you these side quests, and you end up thinking, yo, hold on, you want me to go three houses away and pick up a flask of wine or something? Yeah, three houses away. Go and get your own damn.
Do it yourself.
Yeah. I've got some standing still looking bored to do. I can't do things like that.
Well, I would do it myself, but I took this arrow to my knee.
This exclamation mark is very heavy.
Yeah. Okay, so you brush the dust from your hands, and what are you doing now?
I presume we're leaving town.
Mm-hmm. Or should we just go back in and see, fix the lock nicely and so forth? Which I'm kind of assuming she did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sitting on the door until it was in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the next part of the grand plan was that you were going to escort Irina to the larger town of...
Valaki.
Nearby-ness,
yes.
Perfect.
I did my usual. I'll edit. I'll fix this in post. One day I'm going to remember to write down everything that I need to remember for the whole for a whole session. Of course, you know that normally what happens is I do write things down and it never happens because you go off and do something else instead. Uh-huh.
That's kind of how it's supposed to work, I think, right?
Yeah. This is a game we tell together in our minds. So, yes, you'll be heading towards the town of Lucky.
Do we need to do any preparation before we head out? I mean, have we all got our stuff with us at the church?
I don't believe that you did. Your travelling stuff would have been back at the townhouse, Irina and Ismark. So, and obviously they won't have brought their travelling. Or she won't have brought her travelling stuff with her to the funeral. So you would have to go back to the townhouse.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Head back to the townhouse.
I did actually do some checking on the map and confirmed that your destination is about 18 miles away. So on foot, in theory, you could make that journey in a day. As long as there are no interruptions or anything on the way.
As the DM smiles.
Okay, so are you planning, therefore, on leaving Doru in the hands of his father?
With some instructions.
Yeah.
You must feed him at least once a day, or maybe every 2 days. It can be deer blood, but preferably just...
Should probably do it the other way around.
Sorry?
Twice a day.
No! That's too much risk for that old guy to take.
And keep the lock on the door when you're not there.
We want to drill a hole and put a pipe down so that you can put the other top so you can just pour the blood down.
It's terrible. What are you, inhuman?
I'm the DM.
Actually, no, that's ingenious.
That would be the smart
one. But then, the blood would dry and, you know, you'd have to get, like, de-bludder, sort of like de-scaler, pour boiling water down every so often just to...
Ew!
I'm sure after a little bit of time he'd be able to train him to just sort of come to the pipe when the blood's coming down and just lug it down.
Mm-hmm. You tap on the pipe first and announce it. You tap five times, three... Two, one,
not
three
four.
Times on the ceiling.
Oh,
you want me?
Twice on the pipe.
Twice on the pipe.
If you're wanting your blood.
Oh, absolutely.
She's gone off the rails already today. Come back, Che. I was going to say she was the voice of sanity, but I don't think that's too much. At all true.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a very cruel thing to say of any member of this party.
How dare you?
How very dare. Yeah.
Besides you guys, you are?
Yeah.
To be fair, Caius, most of the time you're the silence of sense in this party.
Oh. Mm-hmm. He's the silent voice of reason.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Because I have a much better idea, and that is, we don't deal with these men. vampires at all. Mm-hmm. Frankly, accommodating them is just not a good idea.
There's that, but the priest did keep his end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bargain's over at this point, so...
Yes.
It's true, so we could technically go down and kill him, but I don't
Okay, well, I mean, do you feel you've given enough instructions to the priest? Shall we head back to the townhouse and pick up any random belongings?
Yeah, I tell him to either be really, really careful or to hire a plumber. So.
God. What has happened to you all?
But that's just such excellent advice for life.
Yeah. If you can't sort it out yourself or by a plumber, then it can't be sorted.
Anything happens to that priest, it is on the rest of you.
Okay.
They don't seem to be particularly upset.
It's not if something, when.
He's an old guy. He could go at any minute.
Okay.
Though, how funny would it be if we can't, if we ever come back to her and this town is nothing but vampires now?
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
You and I have very different definitions of funny.
Well, I wasn't talking about funny, haha.
There's another kind of funny?
Yes, it's funny we chuck you to the rest of them.
Ah.
That's all right. I'm sure everything will be fine when you next return to the village.
What if we write a warning on the cellar door so that in case the old guy does kick it, then nobody will open up the cellar door?
Warning, vampire.
Yes.
Do not feed. No, wait, do feed. Oh, bother.
And when he breaks out of there, which he will.
Well, he hasn't so far. It's been 3 years?
A year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was down there for a year and didn't even bother breaking out. He huddled in a corner wondering where his blood was.
The modern vampires, no motivation. No get up and go.
That would be a millennial vampire, right?
You're kidding.
They're probably just waiting for his dad to bring in blood on toast.
Never does the washing up.
Just wait. They get hungry enough. Any beast will venture out. And once he starts...
You can go down and kill him, but I shall stay up here.
You're going down with me.
We're not going down. We have somebody to protect who needs to get out of town. And that's to happen now.
We will deal with that.
Protect a real person.
One thing at a time.
It might not take that long. You know, we still have the stakes and everything we got from Cathra, so...
I have stakes too, but I am... No. My heart's not in it. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
I was thinking, were there the stakes you carved from the deer before?
Yes, I was as well. I was thinking, great, we've got travelling food.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay, so back to the clumsy, heavily laboured plot. So you head back down to the mansion and start preparing for your journey. By the time you've prepared, had something to eat, everybody's ready to go, it is kind of early afternoon. So you'll definitely not make the entire journey in one day. You would have to camp at some point on the way. But it's either that or stay in town another night and start off first thing the following morning. It's entirely up to you.
Road trip! With overnight camping, what could be better? Mum sets off for heading straight out.
Literally everything be better.
Well, the last time we fell asleep on a travel down on a road trip, we ended up in a strange place.
This strange place.
Yeah, he has a point.
Yes.
Perhaps if we go to sleep, then when we wake up, we'll be back where we started.
We'll go back home. Let's do this.
We're going home, Toto. We're going home.
Has anyone got any ruby slippers?
There's no place like home.
Wait,
there's
no
place like home.
No, I'm more intelligent than that.
We're off to see the vampire.
The cursed vampire of Strahd.
Of Strahd.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm not supposed to help you. Okay, so what are you doing? Are you leaving after lunch, or are you going to wait till the following morning?
Hands up, all those in favour of leaving after lunch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Okay. There seems to be a majority of hands shown for starting off today. So
Semyon only put his hand up because everybody else.
What sort of paladin is directed by peer pressure?
An idiot paladin.
Semyon.
Oh no, he thought it was second helpings.
The fool is on the road. Let's go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alton, sorry I called you an idiot.
You didn't call Alton an idiot.
You called Semyon an idiot, which is true.
Yeah.
Semyon, sorry I called you an idiot.
To be fair, all you actually did was told the DM that Semyon's an idiot, and the DM already knew that.
There you go.
Doesn't mean that you actually, that your character said it out loud. Did your character say it out loud?
It's true. I didn't do the funny voice.
I think mine has said it to you.
A few times. Every time you see it, you can see his face get a little bit sadder.
Oh, yes.
Jeffrey thinks you're really bright, I'm sure.
Okay.
I don't know, man. You can't speak for Jeffrey.
That's just rude.
I'm rocksplaining.
Oh, no.
I think that. I think we've got about three different options for episode title already. But rocksplaining might possibly be my favourite so far.
Okay.
Okay.
On the road before this gets any worse.
Any worse. Any more chaotic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to get my... my fancy map. I kept on forgetting I've got this inside.
Ooh.
The book. It has a map.
Ooh. How pretty. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, also extremely noisy, so I don't think I'll do that. I might pin it up to the wall next before the next session or something.
He's got D&D pinups.
Isn't that the most D&D pinup thing of all of fancy maps?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so one of the things I haven't quite clicked on is that both the village and the land itself is called Barovia.
Oh, that's rather unimaginative.
The village of Barovia in the land of Barovia.
Land of Barovia.
Barovia, Barovia.
So good they named it twice.
Oh, man. They were hoping.
I suppose it just saves having to remember different names. Okay, so you leave the village... by the actually I'm just going to back up a little bit. So you get ready to leave the house. So you are witness to a tearful farewell between Irina and Ismark, as Ismark stays behind to look after the house, while most importantly is to get his sister somewhere safe. So he walks with you towards the edge of the village. You also notice that there are some other denizens of the town who sort of stop and watch you leave with a certain amount of relief.
Ow. Whole bunch of about damn time she got out of here.
By the way, since we're seeing them both together, any perception check or anything for family resemblance?
That's a very interesting thought. If you wish to make a perception check, then please do.
Okay, give me a moment. Get over here. Perception. I got a 5.
Oh.
Who knows?
Could be.
They both look like people, so.
Yeah, so they could be related.
Mind you, like, one's male and one's female, so it's very difficult to tell. They're so different.
I did read a short story earlier in the week where it had two main characters, one male, one female, and the story kept on insisting they were identical twins. That's not how it works.
No, it works. That's fraternal twins.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
I mean, it did turn out that they weren't actually related. They were grown from the same germ source, but it was one of those things. Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fraternal clones.
Indeed, yes.
Send in the clone.
Okay.
Genetically modified clones, so that one of them can be male and one of them can be female. Yeah, that's simple. And then you just add in a bit of snowdrop DNA so that they've got the antifreeze in their veins and you're sorted.
Okay.
Marmoset may not know much, but...
knows about cloning.
Plant cloning.
Right.
An animal cloning.
Okay. As I think you've just broken Josh. okay. As you leave the village, when you look towards the northwest over the woods, you see the lowering stone edifice that is Castle Ravenloft.
So
it's not Castle Barovia then.
No. Thank you for undoing that solemn moment
there was a pause for dramatic effect, wasn't there?
I should have known better by now. Okay.
After 29 years of marriage.
Marriage.
Do you know, you all started off playing so seriously.
Yes, with my talking to statue heads and everything.
Yeah. Okay, so you leave the village heading slightly to the southwest, towards the bridge over the River Ivelis, as Irina informs you. As you cross over the bridge, you notice that the river is as clear as a blue winter sky winding through the valley. So, basically, this whole place may be a crapsack world, but the river's clean.
Hey.
Means they got better sewage systems.
Vampires will eat anything. Oh, God. Now I have a picture. Okay, so the pathway winds down, so you head towards the southeast, and then it turns and heads due east for half a mile or so, and then heads back towards the bends slightly up back towards northeast, and then back down towards the southeast again, and then comes to a crossroads.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun. Indeed, and all
we have a decision to make.
An old wooden gallows creaks in a chill wind that blows down from the high ground to the west. A frayed length of rope dances from its beam. The well-worn road splits here, and a signpost opposite the gallows points off in three directions. Barovia Village to the east, Tisser Pool to the northwest, and Ravenloft stroke Valaki to the southwest.
That's us?
The northern fork slants down and disappears into the trees, while the southwest fork clings to an upward slope. Across from the gallows, a low wall, crumbling in places, partially encloses a small plot of graves shrouded in fog.
Oh, let's go look at these graves. So, wander over, look at the graveyard. Can we make out any of the names on the graves and things?
Oddly enough, no. There are 11 graves, but all of the gravestones are blank.
Oh.
Completely blank?
Yes.
Ooh.
Blanker than Semyon's face on being given an arithmetic question.
Oh, now that was just mean.
Ouch.
No, it's fine.
But I just think it's kind of interesting. Apparently, if you're a person who lives in the city, you love going to zoos to go see the animals. But apparently, if you live in nature, because you see the animals all the time, you like going to graveyards and seeing people's graves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't. With 11 in one place? I mean, wow. We don't have that many.
Well, Marmoset, we were just in a graveyard, so this shouldn't be quite that big of a shock to you.
Yeah, but that was all part of that whole big city experience thing that Barovia itself was.
Got it.
Barovia has probably never been described as a big city ever before.
Graves ever. In their natural habitat.
It's an amazing coincidence, but do you know what? If you find graves, you know what you also find?
Bodies.
Dead people. Anyhow.
Well, maybe undead.
I just lean over to Irina and I say, why are they blank?
She points at the gallows that behind you.
Yeah.
This is where they hung thieves and murderers. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't deserve to have their names preserved.
Fair enough.
Okay.
That's a bit extreme, don't you think?
I'd have thought you'd approve.
No.
Not at all.
Lena is going to get down on hands and knees, crawl up to one of the stones, and say, "Tell me your secrets."
Ingenuity.
What do I roll for that?
Roll an investigation.
Investigation. Oh, if I can find it. Got a 4.
Yeah. Sadly, the gravestone tells you nothing.
Silent as a grave.
Yes.
Jeffrey, would you like tell him to? Never mind. Two are both worthless. Pick up Jeffrey, and I brush my knees off and walk away.
Right. So, are you hanging around anymore? Are you heading off? And if you are heading off, which direction are you heading off into?
What was the name of the place we were trying to go to?
Falaki, which was one of the signposts.
So,
let's go.
How close does this road pass to the castle?
Take my glasses off so I don't actually see this. That makes more sense than it might sound like. It says, there's a path that leads up to the castle. It's about a 3/4 mile or so away. So it's not that close. Not close enough to have to be able to worry. As long as it's day.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That's what the DM wants you to think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah.
Okay. So which way are you heading?
Toward the town we're supposed to go to.
That way.
Okay, so you're heading down the which direction was it? I need better glasses, I swear I do. You're heading down the southwest path. As you leave the area, you hear a creaking noise behind you coming from the gallows. Where there was nothing before, now hangs a lifeless grey body.
Should have burned it.
The breeze turns the hanged figure slowly so that it can fix its dead eyes on you. Bear with me just a second while I do. Okay, Darius.
Yes.
As you look back with everybody else at the figure hanging from the gallows, you don't see what everybody else sees.
Okay.
You see yourself dangling from the gallows.
Interesting, since I'm not a thief.
That's what's interesting about it.
That's what you're taking away from this. So,
considering my character has a lot of experience with death.
Yes, indeed. You're probably going to be considerably less phased.
Yes.
That's true.
So, what are you doing?
Well, I don't remember seeing that there before, so is it just me or was I paying too close attention to the rock?
Definitely wasn't there before.
Good to know I'm not going crazy.
Ship sailed.
Yeah, talk to rocks.
Airman says nothing to that.
It's harder than it looks, all right.
So you're going to take a closer look or you're going to keep your distance?
Okay, cover me.
What?
This may be the second dumbest thing I've ever done.
Can you?
I'm going to keep my shield in front of me, mm-hmm. flail in hand, and I am going to slowly move forward
mm-hmm.
to just have a look at the body. I'm not touching it at the moment.
Right. Okay.
Simeon.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
Before you walk up to whatever that is,
mm-hmm. Before I walk, I stop. Yes.
What if the cleric does something that they can do to, you know, in case this happens to be something not good?
Huh?
Huh? What? What?
Mama says. Didn't understand that one.
Oh, I'm not the only one who doesn't understand that sentence. Okay, carry on.
I think that Josh might be suggesting that, you know, the cleric that you were also playing tonight
mm-hmm.
Might very well have turn undead or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but she's already used her artisan's blessing, so she can't use turn undead until we've had a rest.
Ah, so. Yes, that's true. She's already done that today to repair the thingy.
Mm-hmm. And we should have rested first.
Yep. Okay.
<You'd be stuck.
Yeah.
laughs> Oops.
Okay, so
I just approach slowly. I'm armed. I've got my shield up. I'm ready for anything.
Well, as far as you...
I'm ready to kill it with fire.
Sorry, was that heal it with fire? I don't think that's how it works.
Heal, kill.
Okay. As
those two concepts so close.
It's like hate and love. So as you approach closer, as far as you can tell, the body that you're seeing seems real. It looks real. It seems to sort of take up space, if you like. And
can I smell it?
It smells real for sure.
Can you just sniff that?
Right, okay.
I turn to the rest of the party.
What a weirdo.
It's a body. It doesn't take much sniffing.
Yes. Yes. Not sniffing it would have been more... Not smelling it would probably be more of an achievement.
Marmoset goes, "Oh, what is that god-awful smell?"
First time, huh?
Yeah.
Is this what happens after these bath things?
You can smell other things. Okay, so what are you doing?
Well, there's no sign of it moving. It's like hanged by the neck. It's
hanged by the neck, and it just is drifting slightly in the wind.
I assume it's bound hand and foot.
No, not really. It's just bound by the. It's just hanging by the neck.
Yeah. Right. I am going to use my divine sense and see if I can detect any undead.
Okay.
Which I probably could have done from over there, but, you know, I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
And, Chris?
Yeah, yo.
I'm going to cast Thaumaturgy to actually move the body towards him.
Worthless son of a half troll. I tell you.
Okay. If you wish to make use of your spell slots for such a thing, then I mean
it's a cantrip, so
yeah. It's a cantrip, he can do it as much as he likes.
What are you on this evening, Josh? unbeknownst
two sodas.
Sugar high.
Ooh, are they caffeinated?
So unnoticed by you, Semyon, Josh, Ehriman casts a cantrip, and as you are coming closer to examine it, the body suddenly swings towards you.
Right. Hello. At that point, I will probably go and hit it.
Okay, would you like to roll it a hit?
Okay. I may regret this, but hey. Go. That is a 24.
Hey, very nice.
Wow.
With 6 bludgeoning damage.
So, as the flail contacts the body just slowly fades away to nothing, as if it was never there.
I look at the flail and go, wow.
It's never done that before.
Fabulous.
It's so powerful.
Oh, that must be the spell Tiz put on it yesterday. It's still working. Oh.
Well, I'm all for walking along the path and getting away from here.
Okay. So I assume you are rejoining the rest of the party.
I am, and I'm walking along going, did you see that?
Irina is sort of looking at you with a little bit of a frown and sort of puts her hand to her forehead and just shakes her head slightly in a real, oh my God, what have I got myself into kind of look.
Wink.
Wow.
Perfect.
Yep. Moving on with a bit of a bounce in my step. Yep.
He's never felt as good about himself.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Y'all made me cry.
I'm going to find another chance.
I would point out the fact that the land itself seems to be doing its best to scare you. I'm not sure you necessarily need to help there, Josh. Oh, dear. I'm just trying to get a slightly better view of the map.
Okay, so...
one downside with this old 20 malarkey. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, I hear something going woof, woof, woof.
Yeah, that would be a dog.
Oh, that's a relief.
Well, at least there's no werewolves to worry about then.
Give it time.
The campaign is yet young. Okay, so you start following the road to the southwest. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the map and looking at what it says on the thing and thinking, that's not necessarily the path I'd guide people down, but never mind. Okay, so you start following the road in the direction of the town. Just trying to find something which I should have bookmarked. La 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 la. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment. That's what I was looking for. Okay.
What have I done?
You found a new and original use for cantrip. That's what you've done.
In the effort to spook that one, I've now made him more made him think he's more powerful than he actually is.
Ooh, Chris,
he's
not one.
I think you're confused.
That's not what I should have rolled, by the way. Let me do that again.
Uh-huh.
We believe you.
And I also don't want to roll ID12 because that doesn't really work. I think that's how that works there. Aha. Okay.
Chris has actually got a Choose Your Own Adventure book in front of him, and it says, you know, you reach a crossroads. Which way do you go? Roll such and such.
Well, it's not necessarily an unfair
assessment.
Yeah. Okay, so as you head along the road, you hear a howling and snarling noise coming out of the fog.
See, and you had to say something.
Sorry, say that again.
I was saying you had to say something, huh, Penny?
Yeah.
Okay, so, is there romantic stuff going on?
I think Alton might be getting a cup of tea.
Oh, bless.
Sorry, better than a cup of tea. Lorraine was out in Belfast today, and she came home with presents.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Very exciting. But for those listening, Alton has been gifted by his partner with a copy of, read the name of it,
Acquisitions Incorporated.
Yes.
The source book.
Yay!
Yay.
So
I will get overexcited about that.
Yeah. Put it down before you get too excited. Mm-hmm. Put it out of reach, Alton. Out of reach.
Yes, Daddy. Sorry, Daddy.
Okay, so back to where we were. So as you hear the howling noise, four wolves the size of grizzly bears step out of the fog and confront you.
I immediately step in front of Irina. Is she armed?
Yes, she is, actually.
Oh, okay.
She is. She essentially acts as a member of the party during encounters for...
Mm-hmm.
Things like this. I just need awesome. To...
What is she armed with?
Once I have pressed the right button and brought up her character sheet instead of something I didn't mean to bring. Rapier, I think. Yeah, okay. Rapier.
Okay.
So, it is time for me to do that thing I haven't had to do for, three or four sessions now.
Oh, for initiative.
And bring up the turn order. Okay. So, what I'm going to have to do to make this work... is there is a random battle map that I can use to just drag all the characters onto so that so we can manage this. So bear with me. So let's drag across this. Oh, no point in dragging across Ozzy. He's dead. Darius. Ehriman. Semyon, that should be six. Yeah, Semyon three times the size of everyone else on this.
He's a very big paladin.
That's my ego.
Yes. No comment.
What have I done?
You have created a monster.
I prefer the term hero. Thank you.
Right, we're now about to make Caius very happy because he hasn't been able to kill anything for a few sessions now.
That is true.
So, could everyone please roll initiative?
Should we be seeing this battle map?
Oh, that would help as well, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I was wondering. Like, things haven't changed.
There you go. It kind of feels a little bit like random fights in JRPGs where suddenly you're not no longer where you were before the fight started and you're suddenly in this random area.
I'm not seeing anything. I'm just seeing a black thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
As we fade out on our DM failing to use Roll20 properly again, how will our heroes fare against a pack of direwolves? And what else will meet them on the road to Valaki? Find out in the next episode of Curse of Strahd. Book Zombie presents Curse of Strahd starred Caius as Darius Telvanar, Penny as Mariset Quince, Alton as Semyon Anatov and Tisrael Forgeflame, Rick as Lena Random, Josh as Ehriman, and Jeffrey the Rock as himself. The DM was Chris Bookzombie Hill. Music and artwork was by The Sleeping God. This was a Bookzombie Presents production for Welcome to the Party. If you enjoyed the show, please do like and subscribe. Follow the links below to Welcome to the Party's Twitter feed, Twitch stream, and Patreon account.